Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're doing the third in our series of Naturally Supernatural. And this is our third week in this passage. Page 1153. This is the Word of God. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. May God add his blessing to his word. Just a little summary of the journey so far, in case you missed our two previous talks on this. First of all, I was encouraging us to be open to the Spirit and all his gifts for today. I recognize that there are three general positions that people hold when it comes to the spiritual gifts, and especially those gifts that I have just read about this morning in 1 Corinthians 12. There are some who believe that such gifts have ceased, especially with the completion of the canon of Scripture, and that we no longer need them, and we call them cessationist. A second group of people would call themselves continuationist, believing that all the gifts, including these perhaps more supernatural, are for today. And then thirdly, there's a large group of people, I suspect, who are unsure of the situation. They could be one, but still unsure, two, and still unsure, or just basically unsure. And my hope is that through this series that people have become a little bit more sure, perhaps, about what their position is. My own position is number two, continuationist, but it is a modified continuationism, if you like. I note, and maybe you note, that as you read on into the New Testament and you read up towards the pastoral letters, you read that the kind of spiritual gifts aren't really mentioned that much. They're kind of maybe assumed that they're there. But my sense is that things are starting to quieten down a little bit more. There isn't the same intensity as we find in the Gospels around Jesus, or indeed in the Acts around the apostles. Things have quietened down a little bit. That's not to say that they have ceased, but they've quietened. That's my sense. Even in the most charismatic of churches today, you might find that there's a success rate, if you can call it that, in terms of healing, of maybe around 10%. People, yes, pray for healing, but it's nothing like what Jesus experienced. I mean, Jesus experienced 100% healing. I don't read anywhere where Jesus prayed for someone and they weren't healed. Now, there may come a time when the levels of the spectacular rise more. And indeed, in frontier situations of mission, even today, we do see more people moving in the spiritual gifts, and we do see more healings, and we do see more visions in frontier situations. But perhaps I could say that as the UK and the West moves more and more into a frontier situation where Christianity is actually becoming very much the minority, maybe we will see such things intensifying and more wonders and signs and miracles. So I believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, that we should be open to all the gifts of the Spirit. These gifts are God's grace gifts. That's what charisma means. Grace gift, love gift to the church. I'm aware, and some of my friends will point out to me, that Jesus says in John 14 and 12 that if we have faith in him, we will do even greater things than he did, than Jesus did. John Piper on this verse says, if you think greater works or greater things means more miraculous, you will be hard put to exceed walking on water, or feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, or raising the dead. He says, I don't know of any Christian who has ever lived inside or outside the New Testament who has ever done all three of these miracles, let alone something more miraculous. So what are the greater works that we will do, all of us? Well, he says, his interpretation of that verse is this: you will receive the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of the crucified and risen Christ. Before the resurrection of Jesus, nobody in the history of the world had ever done that, not even Jesus. And in the power of that absolutely new experience, the indwelling of the crucified and risen Christ, your works of love and your message of life in union with Christ will point people to the glory of the risen Son. You will be the instrument of their forgiveness on the basis of the finished work of Christ. This is new. This is greater than any other work because of our coming in this time. Now, we could spend a lot of time on this, and I don't want to, but I just want to say what my position is. These things continue, slightly modified. Last time, we saw that each one of us has a gift. Ordinary believers, each one. Each one emphasizes the diversity of the church, just like a body with different members. Each of us has been given a gift, a love gift. Each of us is to use that love gift for the blessing and the building up and the edification of the church. We saw that each one emphasizes manifesting the Holy Spirit, the visibility of the Holy Spirit in his church. The Holy Spirit is invisible, but we see him as visible as he manifests himself, yes, through salvation, yes, through the fruit of the Spirit, but also through the gifts of the Spirit. He manifests himself. He becomes visible. And thirdly, we saw that the gifts are for the common good. They are to edify or to build up the local church. And as far as I can see, apart from the gift possibly of evangelism, all the gifts are to be exercised in the body, in the church, for the blessing, for the building up, for the edification of the local church. So that's a summary of where we've got to. And thirdly, today I want us to look a little bit more detail at the charismata, at the gifts, and especially the ones listed in verses 8 to 10. This morning, if you picked up a bulletin, you would have also picked up within the bulletin a little list of spiritual gifts. If you didn't get it, there's a few extra copies at the welcome desk. And what I've done here is I've listed 24 areas of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. There may be others, there may be more, but I think these are the main ones, certainly the ones that are explicitly mentioned in Scripture. And I don't want you to leave this behind. I want you to take this with you. I want you to pray over it. I want you to think about your gifting or giftings. Even if you know what your gifting is, perhaps God will have something new for you. So please do take this and read it and pray over it. It's a listing that I use in the spiritual gifts course that I do. I'm going to be referring to a few of these. Paul refers to them in this passage. In verses 8 to 10, we have what we could possibly say are the more extraordinary or the more spectacular of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm aware that as a Reformed church, Presbyterian church is right bang smack in the middle of what you would call a Reformed church. We are a little bit light in terms of these things, in terms of a Presbyterian church, in terms of message of knowledge and wisdom and healings and miraculous powers and prophecy, distinguishing between spirits and tongues and so on. That's an understatement, isn't it? We're a little light in those, aren't we? Would you agree? Just nod your head. We're a little light in those. I would argue that what perhaps we need is another reformation, an opening up to the Holy Spirit. If I'm right, and if these gifts are for today, we should be seeing more. Yes, I say a modified continuation position, but we should be seeing more than we do, is my understanding and my belief. What then is the message of wisdom? Well, I've said in the sheet, and it's going to be on the screen as well, the gift of wisdom is the divine enablement to apply spiritual truth effectively to meet a need in a specific situation. People with this gift focus on the unseen consequences in determining the next steps to take. They receive an understanding of what is necessary to meet the needs of the body of the church. They provide divinely given solutions in the midst of conflict and confusion. Solomon was known for his wisdom. He's in the Old Testament. He exercised wisdom. But we can have the gift of wisdom, very closely tied, I think, into the gift of discernment or distinguishing between spirits. I think these gifts are kind of in a kind of a grouping together. But I think it's good to pray, Lord, give me a message of wisdom. Sometimes we come across difficult situations and we just don't know what to do. We don't know what way to take. Just pray, Lord, give me the gift of wisdom, even for this situation that I'm in today. Holy Spirit, give me this gift of divine enablement to apply truth to this specific situation. Similar to that is the message of knowledge. The gift of knowledge is the divine enablement to bring truth to the body through a revelation or biblical insight. We receive truth, it enables us to better serve the body. We can search Scripture for insight, understanding, and truth. We can have an unusual insight or understanding that serves the church. God may reveal something to us for a specific person, a word of knowledge that is brought. In practice in High Kirk, most of this, the gift of knowledge and even discernment, is exercised in the prayer ministry team. That's one of the reasons we have prayer ministry. It's not just to intercede, but it is also to receive a word from the Lord and to pray that into someone's lives. So often what we say to people when they're coming for prayer ministry is, you may come to prayer ministry with a particular need or maybe to pray for healing or something. That is totally fine. And what the prayer ministry team will do is that they will pray for you and they will intercede for you and they will maybe ask for healing or they will ask for this particular situation you're in and they will pray for that and they will intercede. And the direction is kind of this way, okay? They're praying to the Father for you in the situation that you're in. And quite often people come for prayer ministry because they're dealing with a situation and they want prayer, and that's totally fine. But that's intercession. But what prayer ministry does also is that it moves beyond intercession, and for a few moments they will just be quiet and they will be internally just praying to the Holy Spirit and saying, Jesus, have you anything in particular that you want to communicate to this person? As well as what we've interceded for, is there anything in particular? Is there a word of knowledge that you want to give to them? Is there a verse of Scripture that you want us to encourage them with? And so the team will wait, and two individuals will wait to see, is there a word from Scripture that they feel a particularly strong impression? Yes, this person needs to hear this word today in this situation. And the emphasis there is very much receiving. Where intercession is praying to the Father, prayer ministry is coming this way. It's receiving from the Father, from Jesus to us, through His Spirit to minister to someone. That's why we call it prayer ministry, because we are ministering to the individual. There's often been situations, even situations where I've not known the individual at all, and I've been in a prayer ministry for them. It's usually in another church or another context, and I don't know the individual at all, and sometimes God will give me a picture or a word or a verse to say to them, and I say, you know, does that make sense to you? Does that resonate? And sometimes they look at me blankly, and sometimes they say, yes, and I'm going through this situation, and that speaks to me. Sometimes I get nothing, nothing at all, and I say, let me just pray for you generally. And it's the same for the prayer ministry team. Sometimes you just pray for someone generally if you don't receive a particular word, and that is totally fine. But often these messages of knowledge, the word of knowledge and so on, In my experience here in Highkirk, that is mainly how such messages are received and ministered through the prayer ministry team. The gift of healing is the divine enablement to be God's messenger or God's means for restoring people to wholeness. People with this gift bring restoration to the sick and diseased, authenticate a message from God through healing, pray, touch, or speak words that miraculously bring healing to one's body. It's interesting here that it talks about gifts, plural, of healing. It's the only one that talks about gifts, plural. Some commentators suggest that this means that sometimes people will be given a gift for a particular situation, for a particular person who needs healing. They will pray for that person, they will be healed, and they're never given that gift again. Other people maybe do have that special anointing, that special gift of healing, and a remarkable number of people have been healed through their ministry. But it is interesting that Paul talks here about the gifts, plural, of healing. What about prophecy? The gift of prophecy is the divine enablement to reveal truth and proclaim it in a timely and relevant manner for understanding, correction, repentance, or edification. There may be immediate or future implications. Prophecy, according to Sam Storms in his definition, is the speaking forth in human words what God has spontaneously brought to mind. I'll probably in a few weeks' time maybe talk a little bit more about prophecy and tongues and so on. I don't want to really get too much into this, but if you've got your Bible, what I want you to do is to see prophecy in practice in the life of Timothy. If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, I think it's around page 1193. So 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 14. Paul says to Timothy, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Do not neglect your gift." Now, we're not quite sure what that gift was, but as the elders, and perhaps maybe Paul as well, gathered around Timothy, they felt a very strong leading that Timothy had a gift. It may have been the gift of teaching, may have been the gift of leading a church, but it doesn't define it. It may just mean the office of elder. But there it is. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. If you turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul refers to this again. "Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight." And then if you turn across to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." So Timothy receives a prophecy. The elders are praying for him. Paul, perhaps either separately or with the elders, is praying for him. They feel a prophecy to him. We don't have the details of the prophecy, but this is the prophetic gift in action about Timothy. And then Paul later says that you should fan into flame the gift that you have received, that has been given to you. It should be fanned into flame. And we do that as we step out in faith and as we use that and as we exercise that muscle of the gift that we think that we have. And then the church will confirm and affirm to us if that is the gift that the Spirit has given to us. Tongues, again, I'll just put it on the screen. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with it another time. but it's the divine enablement to speak, worship, or pray in a language unknown of the speaker. And an awful lot of people would use tongues in their private devotional worship. Deep calls to deep in that language helps them to worship God from their heart. Again, if tongues are spoken out in a public meeting, Paul says that those tongues need to be interpreted. And we'll see that later in 1 Corinthians 14. These gifts are for the church. They are for the church today. But there are guidelines in how they are to be used. So these gifts are for today. I would love and long to see more of these particular gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to be in our church. Because when they're in our church, then I believe we're moving more in building up the body, edifying the church. If I can use the analogy of a car, quite often you get the car into fourth gear. But there's a fifth gear, and some of us have a sixth gear. And my sense is that Highkirk is maybe in fourth gear. But there's a fifth gear to come. Maybe even a sixth gear to come. So what we're going to do today, I'm not going to say much more, is that I'm going to pray for us that we'll move up the gears. We're going to move up the gears. I'm going to allow, just for about 10 minutes or so, a bit of space for the Holy Spirit to move. I could fill it with many words, but I want the space for the Holy Spirit. Stephanie, I made fun of Stephanie earlier, I shouldn't. Stephanie encouraged the children to step out of the boat, like Peter. And today we're going to encourage you to step out of the boat, to fan into flame a gift that you maybe know you have, but to fan it into flame. Maybe you're not sure what your gift is. We want to pray for you today that God will impart his gift to you, his Holy Spirit gift to you. The Spirit is here. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus is in the midst. Where 200 or 300 are gathered, God's Spirit is powerfully present. So I'm going to ask the prayer ministry team to come forward. I've got four teams going this morning because I'm stepping out of the boat. Okay, I'm stepping out of the boat. And I want to encourage you to follow me in stepping out of the boat. And for you, the boat is the pew. Okay, the boat is the pew. And I'm going to encourage you to step out of the pew and to be prayed for and to be prayed with. So what these folks are going to do is they're going to pray for you, going to ask you your name, and I hope that many people will come up, that there'll be a steady stream. We've got two over there. Can I ask you guys to move into the second pew? Thank you. We've got two folks here. We've got two folks here, and we've two folks over here. And my desire is that as individuals, you will come up and be prayed with. It'll be a very short prayer, okay? They will pray, they'll ask you your name in case they don't know your name, and they will pray their blessing on you. Some of them have oil, they might anoint you. They will pray a prayer of blessing on you, and they will pray a simple prayer, Lord, reveal to this person the gift that you have for them. And they will wait and see if there's anything else that the Lord says to them, and if not, they'll just say amen, and you'll go back to your pew. And over the days to come, I want you to take this little sheet and to think about it and pray over it. And sense, is God particularly leading you to any particular area of gifting? Just you and God. But today, because the Spirit is here, he has promised to be here, he's going to minister to you today. So Bobby and Jacob are just going to sing quietly. If you want to come for healing, they will pray for healing as well. They will pray for something that you maybe want prayer for healing for. They will pray for that as well if you mention that to them. And who knows, God might heal you today. Now, why would you not take that prayer opportunity? Well, I'll tell you why. Fear. Fear. Peter stepped out of the boat onto water. This is ground. You're not going to sink. You're not going to die. You're going to be blessed. And my experience is that whenever you step out of the boat and take a risk and are out of your comfort zone, God always shows up. He always shows up. So let's see.